The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hi, my name is Robert Lamb, and this is The Monster Fact, a short-form series from Stuff to Blow Your Mind, focusing in on mythical creatures, ideas, and monsters in time. I have a special omnibus episode for you this week once more, collecting four past episodes, this time regarding vampires. Up first, let's consider a possible Irish origin for Count Dracula. Count Dracula was Irish, or at least that's the case made by various historians and folklorists. Now, certainly, to be sure, the 1897 novel Dracula places the character's origins firmly in Transylvania, and famously draws on the legacy of historical 15th century Wallachian ruler Vlad the Impaler. But on the other hand, Dracula's author, Bram Stoker, was himself an Irishman. As pointed out by Celtic historian Bob Curran in Was Dracula an Irishman?, published in the journal History Ireland in 2000, Stoker never visited Eastern Europe, but he certainly would have been exposed to various Irish legends of evil, blood-drinking kings and chieftains, including tales of Irish vampire king Auartuck. As is often the case with such tales, the details of Auartuck's evil varies from telling to telling. It may be more accurate to think of him as a tribal chieftain rather than a king. He would have reigned in the 5th or 6th century CE in the district of Glenullen in Northern Ireland. He is often described as a dwarf or as possessing a physical deformity that sets him apart from other men. He was also a powerful and evil wizard, so when life finally managed to kill him, undeath was the natural next step. Some accounts say that Auartuck fell to his death while jealously creeping about the ledges of his castle's towers, trying to spy on his own wife. In other accounts, his people were so terrified of the chieftain's evil that they convinced or hired a rival chieftain, Cathan, to assassinate him. Either way, once dead, his people buried Auartuck upright in his grave, as was befitting a man of his rank. But you know what happened next. Auartuck returned from the grave, and with a thirst for blood, he demanded his people bleed for him, filling a great drinking bowl. Horrified by his return, Auartuck's people had him murdered or remurdered, depending on the telling, by a hero, rival, or assassin. They buried him, and once more he returned for blood. This cycle repeated itself. And finally, the would-be slayer consulted with a local druid or priest and learned the secret of what must be done to keep Auartuck dead. First, skewer the undead creature's heart with a yew wood sword. Then bury them upside down in the grave, head toward hell, and cap the grave with thorns, ash twigs, and a great stone. And so it was done. But if the stone were ever removed, we are told, this blood-drinking dwarf more than a millennium dead would once more rise to quench his evil thirst. As Curran explains in his article, there are other tales of Irish vampires, and several standout tales involve blood-drinking nobles. Uniquely Irish spins on the global vampire myth often entail the mixture of blood and oats, a reference to famine-era recipes, as well as traditional Celtic venerations of the dead. These various tales would have likely been known to Bram Stoker, infusing his iconic vampire lord with Irish traditions of the undead. Even the name Dracula calls to mind the Irish word Dracola, which means bad or tainted blood. Now let's turn to the world of video games and one of the more popular vampires to emerge from that realm in recent years. In the 2021 Capcom survival horror video game Resident Evil Village, the character Ethan Winters finds himself beset by werewolves, vampires, and other creatures of darkness in an unnamed Eastern European rural location. The titular village is governed by four lords, but the most impressive of these strange rulers is Lady Dimitrescu of Castle Dimitrescu. Her lordship might otherwise be mistaken for any other gothic femme fatale figure, resplendent with classic vampiric qualities and a stylish ensemble. But she also stands well over 9 feet tall and is forced to duck as she moves through doorways in her otherwise high-ceilinged castle. While she often employs brute giant strength in dispatching her enemies, she can also manifest scimitar-like claws to cut them limb from limb. She is arrogant and vain, but also highly protective of her 3 vampiric daughters. The character has proven highly popular, quickly joining the likes of Pyramid Head and Nemesis in the pantheon of great, memorable horror video game monsters. In dissecting the influences that brought this character together, we of course have to give a proper nod to both Dracula and Countess Elizabeth Báthory. But many commentators have also pointed to the modern Japanese yuri or yokai known as Miss 8 Foot Tall or Hasaku-sama, who is depicted in a wide-brimmed hat, much like the Lady Dimitrescu. According to Heike Isohani, in a 2018 thesis paper titled Mythology Marches to Modernity, Yokai in Contemporary Japan, this spirit seems to have originated in a Japanese internet forum in 2008. However, the author stresses that Hasaku-sama's origins might actually extend back much further to an older yokai named Takaona, literally tall woman, briefly mentioned in the Illustrated Night Parade of 100 Demons, published in 1776. However, the idea of a fearsome giantess is far older than any of these examples. Some variations of the Irish and Scottish winter hag and deity, Kilagak, are described as a giantess, and she is credited with kidnapping the spirit of summer. Other legendary hags are also given giant proportions from time to time, including the Baba Yaga. There's also Zunu Kwa of the Kwakiutl people of British Columbia, who hunts the children of man. Multiple giantesses of varying temperaments can be found in Norse mythology, and these are often described as beautiful to behold. And in Hindu traditions, the demon giantess Putana attempts to kill the infant Krishna by taking on a human appearance and breastfeeding him poisoned milk. Baby Krishna, however, turns the tables on the demon by draining her of all her milk and her life essence. Suffice to say, Lady Dimitrescu is but the latest in a long line of intriguing fictional giantesses, employed to express varying ideas about feminine power. Her ancestors run the gamut of hags, demons, heroes, and goddesses. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Now let us consider a vampire from Chinese folklore, the Jiangshi. Imagine yourself out on the road, so frustratingly close to the walls of the city you've been traveling to, and yet night is falling. The mist is rolling in, and then up ahead you see several figures in the gloom. Fellow travelers? A patrol of guards from the city? You entertain the possibility that they are bandits, and then they do something quite unnatural. They hop, like a creature whose legs are bound or stiff with rigor mortis, or perhaps even forgetful of proper bipedal locomotion and forced to lunge itself forward through physical space like a great writhing worm. The creatures hop and hop again, ever closer to you, and as they get closer, you see that they are undead horrors dressed in robes from the Qing Dynasty, decayed corpses burning with unnatural life. As they hop, they reach out towards you with elongated fingernails. They gasp with bloody fang-toothed jaws, and if they catch you, they will drain every last ounce of precious qi from your body. in some ways relatable to Western concepts of the zombie and the vampire, this is the Jiangshi. And while Chinese mythology and folklore is filled with various ghosts and monsters, this particular horror seems to emerge from a Qing dynasty crisis concerning the burial of the dead. According to The Afterlife of Corpses, a social history of unburied dead bodies in Qing China, 1644 through 1911, by historian Zhou Hisu, numerous records from the 18th and 19th century discuss the problem of unburied bodies left upon the ground without proper burial. These were not exclusively the victims of war, famine, or disaster either. They were seemingly, for the most part, individuals who simply had no permanent grave. This, Su writes, was due to changing socioeconomic structure and the resulting imbalance between population and arable land. A family would need to secure claim to the land in order to bury deceased loved ones. If a grave could not be obtained, they were left out and often abandoned or lost. While Jiangnan was the region most impacted by this, it became an empire-wide crisis because it wasn't just about the dead, but a perceived cultural decline in funeral custom and even devotion to one's ancestors. While solutions finally emerged, such as public cemeteries and coffin homes, the specter of the Jiangshi remained in the Chinese imagination, a specter of the abandoned and vengeful dead. These beliefs, along with other records, Su writes, quote, demonstrate unburied dead bodies as highly abnormal and deeply problematic, representing a dysfunctional aspect of popular death custom. Jiangshi famously play a role in an entire subgenre of Chinese supernatural horror and comedy films, including 1985's Mr. Vampire, which we watched on Weird House Cinema last year. They're also now featured in Dungeons & Dragons, listed in 2021's Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft as a challenge level 9 monster, capable of changing shape and, of course, draining the energy of its victims. While sometimes played for comedy, there is a deep and unnatural horror to the Jiangshi, and it absolutely demands a place in your nightmares and at your gaming table. Finally, let's discuss a particular vampire from the world of doom and stoner rock. The 2007 track The Satanic Rites of Drugula by Electric Wizard paints exactly the sort of picture you might expect from this horror-obsessed doom metal and stoner rock mainstay. While the vampires of old thirsted only for human blood, the lyrics to this song speak of, quote, dope-laced blood that has only served to introduce the vampiric hordes and its dark prince to new highs. Now, we are not here to question the wisdom of these lyrics, but we might well wonder how this dark tale of dope smoke matches up to the realities of the natural world. Now, historically, the concept of blood-drinking monsters being in any way drawn to cannabis is interesting, in part because of cannabis's historical associations with the treatment and prevention of parasites. In The Medical Use of Cannabis Among the Greeks and Romans by James L. Butrika, the author points to Greek writings in which cannabis seeds were prescribed in the treatment of tapeworms. Interestingly enough, 5th century CE Greek physician Aetius described the use of cannabis seeds as a means of drying up the semen and preventing nocturnal emissions as well. Butrika also writes that an ancient Greek work on farming attests to the use of cannabis as a deterrent to blood-drinking mosquitoes. By spreading cannabis below your bed or leaving a, quote, blooming sprig of fresh cannabis by your bedside, your blood might be protected from the nefarious thirst of mosquitoes. Now, while these notions don't sound encouraging for Count Drugula and his spawn, it's also worth noting that the Greek physician Galen wrote of the alleged blood-purifying properties of cannabis seeds, and that sounds like something of interest to the vampiric children of the night. The study of bat biology offers few answers, but it's worth considering that common vampire bats do not learn taste aversions. As explored by Ratcliffe et al. In a 2003 study in animal behavior, The bats did not seem to, quote, learn to associate a novel flavor with adverse gastrointestinal events. In other words, they're not capable of associating the symptoms caused by a toxic, spoiled, or poisonous substance with a particular taste. On the other hand, they're certainly susceptible to some of the effects of various human drugs. But would these effects pass on through their blood to a parasitic consumer? Well, Randall Monroe explored a similar topic on the What If website and found that a human being would have to consume an absurd amount of human blood to become drunk on the blood's alcohol content. We can apply a similar line of thinking to other substances in the blood, but that need not dissuade Count Drugula. After all, he is clearly an immortal, undead being, and perhaps he does consume the copious amounts of rock stoner blood required to attain this level of high. But our story does not end here. Perhaps Count Drugula would be interested to know that a stroke medication, dubbed Draculin, has been derived from the anticoagulant properties of vampire bat saliva. Arise, arise, Count Drugula, arise. Tune in for additional episodes of The Monster Fact each week, and periodically we'll bust out an omnibus episode to collect some related episodes of The Monster Fact or even The Artifact. As always, you can email us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com.
Stuff to Blow Your Mind is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.